And now we join Carolyn Crawford and Dominic Ford for a look at what's been happening in space science news this month.
This is a paper by Lars Bekave of the University of Copenhagen, which appeared in the journal Nature this month, analysing the early exoplanet discoveries by the Kepler spacecraft. Now, we've talked about Kepler before on the podcast, and you may remember it was launched back in 2009, and it's staring continuously at about 150,000 stars. And what it's doing is it's looking for dips in the brightness of those stars that might indicate that a planet is passing in front of them. And to date, it's identified about 2,000 candidate exoplanets, of which about 200 have been confirmed. Now, it's an interesting question whether you would expect to see equal numbers of exoplanets around different kinds of stars, or whether you would expect to see them preferentially around certain kinds of stars. Now, the most important property of a star is what we call its metallicity, which is the fraction of the star's material which is not hydrogen gas and helium gas. So this includes carbon and silicon and other very important materials for forming the gritty particles that start to accumulate together to form a planet. And in the formation model we have of a star and planet system, the central part of a collapsing molecular cloud formed into a core that becomes the star itself. But the outer material in that cloud around it collapses into a disk that we call a protoplanetary disk, and potentially over the 10 million years or so that disk exists, that material may collapse down to form planets. So I think you would expect that the higher the metallicity of a star, the more gritty material you would have in that disk, which could collapse down to form planets. Now, in fact, what this paper has found is that although gas giants like Jupiter and Saturn form preferentially around high metallicity stars, in fact, terrestrial planets like the Earth and like Mars seem to form with equal probability around lower metallicity stars and higher metallicity stars.
Is this the first time we've really been able to do this sort of statistical analysis of how different types of planets form? Is it just because we've found so much with Kepler now that only now do we actually have that data?
The first exoplanet discovery came in 1992, so only 20 years ago. And the first exoplanets that we discovered were generally big ones. They were what we call hot Jupiters. Many of them were quite a bit bigger than Jupiter, in fact. And that's simply because those are the easiest planets to see. They block the most light when they transit in front of a star. They exert the biggest gravitational influence on their hosts. It's only now that we're starting to be able to see smaller, more Earth-like planets, and we're starting to be able to see how the probability of having those planets in a planetary system depends on the metallicity of the host star.
So is this a reason for us to care again about the results that we're getting from Kepler? There has been this exoplanet fatigue where we've seen lots of potential new planets, loads of them, different properties, and people do seem to be getting bored.
It's certainly true that we've talked about exoplanets a lot on this podcast in the last 3 years. But what's really exciting about this is that there are a lot of stars in our galaxy with lower metallicities than our own Sun. And up until now, we've thought those probably haven't had planets around them. Now, this paper suggests that they probably don't have planets like Jupiter and Saturn, but they might have Earth-like planets. And so in terms of habitable worlds in our galaxy, it looks like there might be a lot more planets than we previously thought.